We're doing something a little different this morning, just a little bit of fun here on Christmas Eve. Looking at some Bible passages to see what it says, to see what's there, and to see what's not there. We sing a lot of hymns at Christmas time that have some lines in them that are not factually accurate, scripturally, when we look at it. Some things that have worked their way into the Christmas story that, again, they're not accurate. But we'll see that as we look at these passages this morning. We're going to start in Luke chapter 2, the famous Christmas story. Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 1. So it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered, or should be taxed. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone in his home city. So why did Joseph and Mary go to Bethlehem? To be registered in their home city. So Joseph, obviously, was born in Bethlehem and then had to return back to his home city. So the situation here was the government was having a shortfall of funds. The government, well, you're laughing already. The government, you know, was trying to decide some way to raise more money for the shortfall of funds. So the government decided that the answer was to tax people. So you can see, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. They had to go to their home city to register to pay their taxes. So that was the situation here. It was controlled by the government at the time, the Roman government, and that's why Mary and Joseph were headed down to Bethlehem. Otherwise, the Lord would have been born where?
Nazareth.
In Nazareth. So it was only because of this that they left. Mary being pregnant, they wouldn't have elected to take this kind of a journey down from Bethlehem to Nazareth, but they had to because of the government decree. And then because of that, it actually helped in fulfilling the scriptures that said that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, as is pointed out by the record there in Matthew chapter 2, where the wise men came and asked, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" And they searched and they said Bethlehem was the answer to that question. But continuing on this morning, Luke chapter 2 and verse 4. So Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So how did they get there? What's that? They walked? Rode on a donkey? I mean, somebody took a picture, and I've got it. No, you know, that's an artist's rendering of Mary on the donkey. Some suppose that this is how they would have traveled, that Mary would have ridden on the donkey, and then Joseph led the donkey, maybe at times both on the donkey. But the truth is, yeah, we don't know. We don't know exactly how they got there. Why don't we know?
Scripture doesn't tell us.
Scripture doesn't tell us. It does not say. We can conjecture, and of course, nothing wrong with that, I suppose, to conjecture that Mary would have ridden on the donkey. But the Bible doesn't say. We do know that they were poor, which, you know, leads us to the conclusion they might have had just one cheap beast of burden, like a donkey. We know that they were poor because of the sacrifice that they brought after Jesus was born. Turn to Leviticus. Hold your place here and turn to Leviticus chapter 12. So this is still during the law, the Mosaic law. And under the Mosaic law, when a child was born, a male child, there were sacrifices that were to be brought. Look at Leviticus chapter 12, and we'll start reading with verse 6. So after the childbirth here, when the days of her purification are fulfilled, that's the birth mother, Whether for a son or a daughter, she shall bring to the priest a lamb of the first year as a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove as a sin offering to the door of the tabernacle of the meeting. Then he, that is the priest, shall offer it before the Lord and make atonement for her, and she shall be clean from her flow of blood. This is the law for her who has borne a male or a female. And if she is not able to bring a lamb, then she may bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons, one as a burnt offering and the other as a sin offering. So the priest shall make atonement for her, and she will be clean. So the preferred sacrifice here was what? A lamb. But if you're not able to bring a lamb, if finances don't allow for that, then there's the offering of the poor that you can bring that you see there. So turn to back to Luke chapter 2, in verse 22. Luke 2 and verse 22 says, "Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." So they brought the poor sacrifice, you see, the lamb. So again, that tells us a kind of a bit of their financial situation there. Not well off, not able to bring the lamb and bring in the sacrifice of the poor. Back to the story this morning, Luke chapter 2 and verse 6. So now they get there. They've traveled there. We don't know exactly how. We conjecture a donkey may have been involved, that she rode on the donkey and Joseph leading it in verse 6. "So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." What did the innkeeper say to Mary and Joseph?
"Well, the Holiday Inn Express was overbooked."
That Holiday Inn Express was full. The innkeeper probably didn't talk to Mary. She stayed out the curbside with the donkey while Joseph went up to the door, right? So what did the innkeeper say to Joseph? Again, we don't know. You see these Christmas specials, you know, and the innkeeper, sometimes the innkeeper is a bit rude in telling Joseph that there's no room for them. Again, that's all, you know, just filled in. People taking artistic license with the story. It doesn't say anything about a conversation with an innkeeper at all. It just says that there was not room in the inn. You can imagine that as people are coming to Bethlehem, it's a small city at this time, but there's a lot of people coming back to Bethlehem. There wouldn't have been lodging for a lot of people. How do you think they probably stayed there, a lot of them? What's that?
Slept on the ground.
Slept on the ground? Tent? I'm thinking that's probably the situation. That a lot of people came and brought a tent with them and just camped out around the city as they had to file through the county courthouse there. How did they read? Again, don't exactly know that either. But the exact process. But as they come there, a lot of people are there. It's very crowded. No room in the inn. Probably a lot of people in tents. But that wouldn't work for Mary because she's pregnant. She's about to have a child. Joseph is probably concerned for her, looking for a place where they can have a little bit of privacy and give the birth to this child. But
you think that since he was born there, that they might have relatives still there.
Maybe relatives. You would have thought so, since that's his home city.
Why didn't they do that?
And again, the scripture is silent on some of these issues. Leaves us with questions, and then some people fill them in with artistic license. Let's continue on, verse 8. It says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people.'" Who appears? An angel of the Lord. One. So at the start here, there is only one angel that appears. Again, in some depictions, there's a crowd of angels, you know, that appear here before the shepherds. Not at the start. It's just one angel that appears. And that angel sings? No. That angel speaks. So it's one angel who speaks to the shepherds, and then after that, there's more angels that appear. Continuing in the story, verse 11. So this angel said, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So now, after the first angel gives the pronouncement, "Don't be afraid, good tidings of great joy," then suddenly there appears with that angel a host of angels. And they what? Sing? Now look closely.
Praising God.
Yeah, it just says they praised God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." So did they sing or did they not sing? Well, there's a song that says, "Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled." Is that what they sang? No. That's what the hymn says, that the angels sang. "Hark, the herald angels sing." And what is it that they sing? These are the words that they supposedly sing. "Glory to the newborn king. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled." No. I mean, I'm not saying don't sing the song. It just says that they praised God, and maybe there were more words that they proclaimed as they praised God, but it doesn't say what those words were, if there were more words, and it doesn't say that they sang. It says that they praised. If we're going to praise God, we're probably going to put some melody to it if we're going to do it together as a group. So maybe we would sing. Just want you to notice, though, that it doesn't say. "Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains." Another Christmas hymn that says the angels were singing. Again, no mention of singing, just speech. "It came upon a midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold." Where's the harps? Not there. Doesn't make any mention of harps. By the way, it came upon a midnight clear. What time did the angels appear? In the midnight hour, according to the song, it came upon a midnight clear. Oh, wait, no. It must have been after midnight, because "O come, all ye faithful," says, "Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning." So, morning. But again, we don't know if it was evening, midnight, early morning. The scriptures don't tell us. How many other children were born in Bethlehem on this occasion? We don't know. There could have been more, couldn't there? Other ladies could have went into labor from the trip. We don't know. So then, how did they know where to go if it's possible that there was more than one? Well, yeah, they were told what to look for. How many of them would have been in a stable, lying in a manger? wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. So they were told what to look for. And then once they got there, again, how they would know. Not as the song Silent Night says, where radiant beams from thy holy face illuminated him so they would know. You know that line, right? Radiant beams from thy holy face. Then that's how they knew which baby is the right one. I know moms, all newborn babies have radiant beams from their face, right? No, again, they were given the sign, wrapped in clothes, swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. Incidentally, how silent was the night? Silent night? Holy night? We don't know. Maybe it wasn't silent at all. A lot of activity. There's a lot of people in town for this census. Could be people coming and going. If it's a stall and there's animals nearby, maybe the animals were making some noises as well. But again, we don't know. It's okay to think of it as a quiet, still, silent night when Jesus was born, but just be careful again that the scriptures don't say that. What was the manger made of? When you see the depictions of the manger scene, most often you're going to see this wooden thing that had, you know, X's for legs, and Jesus is laid in the wooden thing, and that's the manger for the manger scene. Most likely it was not. Because the manger was what? For the food. It was a feed trough, is what the manger is. And so if it were made of wood, can you imagine how long a feed trough made of wood with the legs, cross pieces of wood for the legs? Those big beasts, those animals would tear that up in a hurry. It wouldn't last very long at all. So it wasn't wood, it was rock, stone. So Jesus Christ, when he was born, was wrapped in cloths and laid in this manger that was made of stone. What angels were present? Excuse me, animals. Where did we leave off? We left off with 14. Let's finish on down from 15 to 20. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. How many animals were there at the manger scene? Again, we don't know. But obviously there was at least a cow and a lamb, right? Because when the little drummer boy showed up, the ox and the lamb kept time. Sorry, no little drummer boy there at all. Completely fictional. Camera showed me a meme on Facebook. How did it go? Something about Mary finally gets baby Jesus, you know, from crying and laid down, and here comes this boy with a drum. This woman needs some music. I'm going to beat on my drum. No, completely fictitious character, not in the story at all. But why do we think there would have been animals present?
The cattle were lowing.
Yeah, it didn't need the drummer boy to wake up the babe, right? The cattle won't give up. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes.
They were
in kind of a stable, a barn. There's a manger there. So that does lead us to believe that there were some animals present in the vicinity here somewhere. So moving on, Brother Judd, the cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. What? Do you think baby Jesus cried?
Yes.
I do. For parents, I mean, sometimes, you know, babies cry and cry and cry, but for parents, the crying is actually something helpful for you, because that's when you know your child needs attention. They're hungry, they have a dirty diaper, something of that nature. So crying is a natural thing. And there are a lot of people, a lot of theologians throughout history who have actually been very upset about that line. Specifically, you know, we've talked about all these other things, but of all the lines in the Christmas hymns, that one draws the ire, I-R-E, of a lot of scholars, because it takes away from the humanity of Jesus Christ to say that he did not cry. He was God, so obviously, you know, God in the flesh, so obviously he didn't cry. But he was fully human, so he would have responded just like any other fully human baby, crying when he had needs to alert his mother that he needed some attention. He needed some care. Was Jesus born on December 25th?
Probably not.
It was many years later before December 25th was taken over as Christmas holiday to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. The truth is, we don't know when Jesus was born in terms of the exact date. But putting things together, we can determine that winter time was not a good time for this to occur, for this census to go out, for everybody to be registered in this census, for everybody to travel. It wouldn't have been a good time, if it was winter time, to call for all of this to occur. So, oh, another thing, where were the shepherds? Out in the field, watching their flocks at night. So again, wintertime, probably not a good thing, even though it says in the hymn, the first Noel, on a cold winter's night, that was so deep. No, most likely not. People would have been traveling. So it would have been after the harvest, most likely, when people were able to finish their work in the fields and everything, but before it got cold. So late summer, early fall is the time frame that most people think that Jesus was probably born. And again, the shepherds still out in the field. And by the way, in the song, the first Noel, in the second stanza of that song, it says that the shepherds followed the star to where Jesus was. Is that true? Who followed the star? The wise men followed the star. The scriptures don't say that the shepherds followed the star, but maybe there was a star. Maybe there was something like that that led them just as the wise men were led, but it doesn't say so in the scripture. It was the wise men who followed the star. So turn to Matthew chapter 2. So Luke chapter 2, the story of the night of Jesus' birth. Matthew chapter 2, the story of the wise men. Matthew 2, starting with verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." How many kings came to see Jesus at his birth manger?
Song says three, but we don't know.
Yeah, the song says, "We three kings of Orient are come bearing gifts, travel so far." We don't see anything here about kings. They were magi, wise men, astronomers, and also the song says we three kings. How many does it say here came? It doesn't give us a number. All right, so magi, wise men. So how many wise men came to Jesus' manger scene? How many magi? That answer is zero. They didn't come to the manger scene. It is quite some time later before the wise men show up to worship Jesus. It's not on the same night as the shepherds. I know you've seen all of the manger scenes with a little wooden manger and shepherds there, and Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus and the three wise men ready to present their gifts. But the wise men were not there on the night of Jesus' birth. They didn't come to the stable. Let's finish reading this story out here in Matthew. I finished with verse 2, didn't I? Verse 3, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled in all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. So the wise men see the star, and then they travel from afar to come find Jesus. Did the star appear before Jesus was born to lead them there? Well, again, we don't know. It doesn't say exactly when the star appeared in relation to when Jesus was born. But in the story here, it does say they asked, where is he? And the scholars, the Pharisees, the scribes, got together and they said, Bethlehem is where it says he would be born. So Herod sends them on to Bethlehem. Herod has this extended interview with them, getting a lot of information. Herod sends them on to Bethlehem saying, the Bible says that Bethlehem is the place to look, or Bethlehem is the place that he would be born. But now look at verse 9. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Now, we follow through in that story. They were sent to Bethlehem, and so we automatically assume that when the star was there and led them, that the star led them to the place in Bethlehem where Jesus was. But it does not say that. It says that the star led them to where Jesus was, but it does not say that when they got there to where Jesus was, that Bethlehem is the place that they went to or where he was. Verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, wait a minute, they didn't go to a stable. They came to a house. When they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasure, they presented gifts to him, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. So the Magi, when they get there, they don't go to a stable, you see. They went to a house and they found Jesus there. And also, the word there for child is a different Greek word than the word for infant. There are two different words that the Greeks would use to describe the age of a child. Just like we would say infant or baby, and then as that child gets older, what's the next term we would use? Toddler. That's the idea here. They didn't come to see a baby. When they came into the house, there was a toddler here that they fell down and worshipped and presented gifts to. Even though in the fourth stanza of the first Noel, it says that the star came and took rest over Bethlehem to lead the wise men there. Again, just want to point out, that's not exactly what the biblical record says here. When Herod then becomes angry that they didn't return, he finds out that he's been duped. They didn't return to give him word of how to find this child. Herod kills children. Herod has all the male children in the area put to death. From what age? 2 years and younger. Based on his interview with the wise men of when the star appeared and how long it took them to get there and for them to then go to that house. So again, a toddler by the time they get to see Jesus, probably more than a year old at that time. So Herod has every male child 2 years old and younger put to death to try to eliminate this threat that he perceives of the power taking over his throne. So Joseph, though, receives word from an angel to flee. And they flee from Judea, from Israel, down to Egypt. They were very poor. How did they suddenly pack up their home and move down to Egypt for a while? Well, the wise men had brought them presents, right? Of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Expensive spices and expensive incense and money, straight up, gold. So now they have money. They have the means now to move. So the wise men come and provide a gift that is not just for deity, for Jesus Christ, for the king, but also a very practical gift for them so that the Lord can use that to get them out of the area and Jesus is not killed when the other children are killed. Back to how many wise men that were there. A lot of people conjecture three because there were three gifts that were given. But there were probably more than that. Or at least there were more people that traveled than that. If the wise men came by themselves and it was just wise men, they wouldn't have traveled with just three of them, with coming from the east with all of their stuff and these expensive gifts that they're bringing. Roadside crime was a problem in this era. And so just three people traveling alone, they would have been a target for thieves. So most of the time, people traveled in groups of no less than 10 to 12 at this time. So if it was just three that came, they probably had an entourage with them, servants that came with them. Or it could be possible that it was more than three wise men that came. It could have been a whole company of wise men that added up to a number of 10 to 12. There's the behavior of the star that the Magi followed. We don't really know exactly what that was or how it worked. Planets in alignment, a disco strobe light that led them and they followed. But we just know that they knew what they were seeing and that it did in fact lead them. But again, the exact nature of it, We can only conjecture. So how would you have done this morning if it was a quiz? Would you have missed any? Would you have believed that some of the things that we've seen are not there or were there? Maybe one or two. Some of them are kind of tricky when you talk about where the wise men actually went. That one's kind of tricky. That people would think he went, that the wise men went to see Jesus in the manger scene and that he was a baby and that they went to Bethlehem, but none of those things appear to be true. They didn't see him as a baby. He was a toddler. Doesn't appear they led them to Bethlehem because they would have been back in Nazareth by that time. And so they would have just followed that star wherever it led them. We talked about the animals that would have been present. And we say that we don't know what animals were there. We don't know if Mary and Joseph came on a donkey or not. But I'm going to tell you, there is one passage of Scripture that alludes to the fact that there might have been a donkey present at the birth of Jesus Christ. So for bonus points, no matter how many you would have missed so far, bonus points, what book of the Bible contains this passage that alludes to the fact that a donkey might have been present? Anybody? It is the book of Isaiah. Turn to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, we're going to start reading with verse 1. Isaiah 1:1 says, "The vision of Isaiah the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me." Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 3. Are you with me? The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people do not consider. Some consider that an allusion to the fact, allusion to the fact that there was a donkey present at the crib of the birth of Jesus Christ. The donkey knows its master, but Israel does not know. So there you go. What's the point this morning? Well, I hope it was a little fun to go and look at the Scriptures and compare it with, again, things we see during this holiday season, manger scenes, songs that we sing, things that we have this preconceived notion of what it looked like when Jesus was born and how the story played out. But we see that it doesn't quite line up that way when we look at Scripture. So the point is, too many times, people just accept what they've been told. They just accept it without looking for themselves. They just believe for most of their life that the things that they have been told are true. It's what church tradition has taught for centuries, so it must be true, right? In fact, if you look, there's several things in church tradition that don't line up to the Scriptures, even though they're dogma founded in church tradition. If you look through the hymnals, we picked out Christmas songs this morning. But if you were to look through the hymnal and really dissect a lot of the hymns that we sing, you'll find that a lot of them in there are not scripturally accurate, especially concerning the hope for the church today, the body of Christ. There are a lot of hymns that present the church as being in the kingdom, or that take language and promises that's meant for Israel and applying it for the church today. No time to get into that this morning. I'm just saying the point is we have to be very, very careful. Don't just accept what you've heard and believe that it's true without knowing for a fact that it's true, especially when it comes to things that are of importance as far as our spiritual walk is concerned. You recall that in Matthew chapter 15, some of the Pharisees and scribes came out to rebuke Jesus and his followers because they were eating with unwashed hands. Basically what that was there, they were eating with unbaptized hands. It wasn't just that they were eating with dirty hands, that they didn't wash their hands before they ate, like a child would get onto a mother and say, "Your hands are filthy, go wash your hands before you come sit at this table." It wasn't that kind of thing. It was a religious ritual that they went through and said, "You have to baptize your hands before you eat," but they didn't do that. But what verse of Scripture says that they were supposed to baptize their hands before they ate? It's not there. And so they rebuke Jesus for not rebuking his followers for baptizing their hands before they ate. But Jesus, in return there in Matthew chapter 15, rebuked them in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9. He says, "In vain you worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men," or the traditions of men. Their doctrines, their traditions had become so ingrained that they were following that more than they were following the Word of God. So we have to study the Scriptures to make sure that we really do know the truth concerning the Word of God. And if what someone says goes against what God's Word teaches, goes against what God's Word says, then believe me, they're wrong. The Scriptures are always right, and they're wrong. Or if what they say is actually not in the Bible, it's not stated there, maybe it's conjecture, sometimes that's fine to take some artistic license. But if you're going to do it, be very, very careful about doing that. Any thoughts? She said she enjoys singing all of the Christmas hymns because it helps her memorize Scripture, but maybe that's not true.
Charles, if you go to Israel today and go into Bethlehem, the Church of the Nativity, built over a cave that tradition says is where he was born.
No, in the cave, in the manger? Cool. Very cool.
And I suppose the thought bears out what you often say, you know, that what the Scriptures do not say is often as important as what they do.
What the Scriptures don't say, yes, can be just as important as what it does say.
Oh, what an old saying, believe nothing you hear and only half what you see.
Don't believe what you hear and only half of what you see. All right, let's close with a word of prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this time that we've had to look into your word and for this, a bit of a different study this morning, but a bit of a laid-back time to just look at your word and see what it does actually say in comparison to the things that we normally see around us during this Christmas season. But Father, we rejoice. We praise you for your matchless grace and awesome love for us that has provided such a wonderful gift to us in the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, we just thank you for all of the sights and sounds of the season that remind us of that. Even though some may not be strictly scripturally accurate, Father, we recognize that it is a wonderful, truly marvelous gift that you have given to us. Father, it's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we give you all the praise. Amen.